missing out those production values of the delta rhythm boys with that. moment. We're going to deal with the charismatic church today, and that was charismatic in those days, I think. Put yourself into the mind of Ezekiel. Write the Bible of your own life. What was Ezekiel doing when he got that vision of the dry bones? I'm guessing that he was maybe at the temple praying. He was meditating about God. And he got a daydream, which when you're writing the Bible of your own life, you call it a vision. And he says, the hand of the Lord was on me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. Now, I think the hand of the Lord is the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit was filling Ezekiel and showing him a truth. Let's face it, there are probably lots of people around the time of Ezekiel that had daydreams, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. God took him to a valley of dry bones, a desert place with scattered bones, bones bleached in the sun. You poured water on them, it would disappear, soak up into the dryness. There was nothing there to give hope. God says, prophesy to the breath, and the bones came together. Ezekiel says, I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them. Skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. These bones had a job to do. They had been equipped for service by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the second talk in a series of four on the Holy Spirit. And thanks to Maima 2 weeks ago for her introduction to the subject. There was one passage that she quoted which resonated with me, and it's from John's Gospel, chapter 7. Jesus is speaking. He stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Again, these rivers of living water to me are not just a change in attitude. That is the Holy Spirit that Jesus is talking about. Our God is the giver of life. He takes dry bones and turns them into rivers of water. He is the creator. As I say, the second of four talks on the Holy Spirit. In a fortnight, we're going to be hearing from Ivor Martin, principal of Free Church College. No pressure. I'll take Ivor in a sermon square go any day. He's speaking on Pentecost, and some of the things that he'll be saying overlap with what I'm saying, because I'm talking about the Spirit and inhabiting people and getting them ready for service, which is what happened at Pentecost. But there's almost as many different views about the Spirit and what he does in the church as there are people in the church, so I can't imagine that Ivor is going to say the same things as I am. Yeah, and I make a wee row or something, I don't know. And in 2 weeks after that, the youth of the church are going to be here, I think with Josh Reed, to give us their views on the Holy Spirit and the church. So what role does the Holy Spirit play in West Glasgow church life? As soon as I asked myself that question, I started to muse on what the Holy Spirit was. Now, Maima touched fortnight ago on the Trinity, because when you're dealing with the Holy Spirit, you're dealing with part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I started to think about what that meant, because there's various pictures that are used to communicate with us. Now, God is our creator, and I was wondering how he communicates with us. This is one of my creations. It's a bit of card and paper with some watercolor paper. I was thinking, how do I communicate with that creation? Now, the best I could come up with was that if I sat that card in a window and the sun beat in it and started to bleach the colors, that card would be saying to me, I'm suffering, I'm not keeping my color, and I could take the card and move it out of the window to the side. Now think of the difference in terms of truth and ability to communicate that I have with my creation, and then reverse that to think of how our Creator communicates with us. He is so far above us in terms of his power, ability, knowledge, understanding, that the level of communication is difficult for us to understand. So we get the truth in pictures, and we have to do our best with what we can get. So for this purpose, I like to think of the Holy Spirit as the spirit of this person who is the Godhead. So the Father is the mind of God, Jesus is the body of God, and the Spirit is the spirit, in the same way as individuals have spirit. So everybody here has a different spirit. Some are extroverts, some are introverts, some are jolly, some are serious, some are contemplative, some are outgoing. Everybody has a different spirit. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit of God, it's that spirit of the person of the Godhead. And that's important because the Holy Spirit is our point of contact with God. So it's important that we understand what that is and how we are filled with it. In John 14, Jesus is talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." It's one of my favorite passages of the Bible, and I come back to it again and again, because there's not just a contact being made with us by God. There's a promise that God will make his home with us. There's a permanence there, a loving relationship, a closeness. And that home is made by the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. So that is where God makes contact with us. But how do we sense that presence? We can't see it, touch it, taste it, smell it, hear it. There's no physical evidence that the Spirit is there. We can see the results in the same way as you can't see the wind, but you can see the trees bend when it blows. Now, I had an interesting experience just this week. Obviously, when I'm preparing for these things, my mind is buzzing about with the Spirit and the breath and the wind. And I was sitting next to a colleague on a train, and he talked about, I can't remember what the subject matter was, this came out of the blue, and he was down in the Lake District visiting a friend, he said, who was a Wiccan, which is a witch. You're not expecting someone to tell you that, sitting on a train. And he started talking about going to a walk with this person in the Lake District and up to a stone circle. And this person said, I feel I need to go and address the cardinal points. And she went away and did her stuff. And then there was a big wind blew through, a big gust of wind coming along. And this guy said, whoa, this is bizarre. So this guy, I think, now believes in a sort of spirit life where he didn't before, because he saw the effects of this spirit working. Now, I doubt very much that that was the Holy Spirit, and I have to say that I believe in a spirit life running parallel with the physical life, but I just thought it was a real illustration to me when my mind was buzzing about it, about this event caused by a spirit that made engendered belief. Of all the things about God or the persons of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit is something that almost requires blind faith to accept and to listen to. So if you're thinking about the creator part of God, you can rationalize yourself through the creation that you see in front of you and think that, well, the things that I see, the delicacy of creation, the moral fiber that's in people at the moment, that can only have come from a creator. When you look at Jesus, there is a lot of historical evidence that Jesus existed, that he was there, not just in the Bible, but other sources as well. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, That is something you almost have to give yourself to. And if you're not going to give yourself to it, I don't think you can understand it or accept it. So what is the West Glasgow New Church experience of the Holy Spirit? And here, I think there's a range in the church family of practice of the presence of the Holy Spirit, running on a spectrum from intellectual through to charismatic. And churches pitch themselves along that line in whatever suits their character or their history. Now, I would say that we are fairly along the at the intellectual end of our appreciation of it. And I'll give you an example. I was at David's Church in Dundee a few months back, which is pretty much towards the other end of the spectrum, more charismatic. Now, I was sitting there and things were happening around me, and I couldn't help thinking, how would the people of West Glasgow take to that? There was what I would call bad behaviour as well, that the Apostle Paul would have sorted out. But I'll just give it all to you, and you can come up with your own opinion. So we were singing a song, and one guy started shouting during this song. And I'm assuming, was shouting in the spirit, as he thought. I could not discern any spirit in it, but maybe that's a gift I don't have. There was people coming up with random, it's judgmental, isn't it? People coming up with thoughts they had had, these daydreams, which they would have written their own Bible and said this was a vision of what was of something, and they would say these things which meant absolutely nothing to me, and I didn't find them helpful. And then at one point we were singing, and there was a woman who was in her right mind but was kneeling down on the floor and beating the floor with her hand while we were singing. Now, overall, I felt that. That was perhaps there was a lack of safety in that gathering, and I felt that maybe vulnerable people could have been led astray by the things that were going on. At the same time, when I looked around the congregation, there was such a mix of people there. There was rich and poor, there was intellectual and people with learning difficulties, there was people with obviously mental health conditions. There was all races and people that looked as though they might have been recent immigrants to the country. If I thought Jesus was going to come to this country and start up a church, that would have been the picture that I would have guessed he would have started up. And yet there was a lot of wackiness going on around it. Now, there's a choice in there between whether you're a policeman or whether you're a man full of mercy. In terms of how you accept these. Again, it's a spectrum that we all find ourselves on. But I do wonder if we are more policemen, if we are more intellectually based, and we are choking the life. Now, I don't want you to all to come in next week and be doing the wacky stuff, but maybe there is a move that we need to make. Maybe we need to be further along the spectrum towards the charismatic end. So how do we get this Holy Spirit? Now, I think that for those of us that believe that Jesus is God, we have the Holy Spirit living inside us. I think that we can acknowledge him as a good man, and some of the things he did, looking after the poor, defending the weak, healing the sick, these are all great things, and we can admire him as a really good person for that. But that final jump to say Jesus is God is something I think the Holy Spirit has to make for us. So when we are sitting here and believing and practicing that belief in God, then I think that that is the Holy Spirit working within us. So to that extent, we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, love God, obey my teaching, and the Spirit will make his home with us. In John's chapter 16, when Jesus is talking to his disciples about his death, he says, now is the time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Let's do that. Let's ask now. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we come before you humble and repentant. We recognize you as the Spirit of God who created all things and set this tiny planet within the majesty of heaven, and with delicacy covered it with a thin veil of life and made us in his image with free will, and that we chose to reject him and go our own way, for which we are sorry. We acknowledge that despite our rebellion, he condescended to reach out to us and send his son Jesus to be one of us and walk with us. That he allowed Jesus to be killed by cruel men and so to be a sacrifice for us, providing complete forgiveness for our sins and restoration with the Father. And that you are given to us to live with us, to teach us about our Creator, to comfort us, to give us hope. Holy Spirit, fill us anew. Fill us completely. Show us the Father and lead us to him. Amen. I want to tell you a bit about my experience then of the Holy Spirit. I was converted or brought to know Jesus in my early teenage years, and I experienced a charismatic event then. There was a joy inside me that was more than just the relief of not being different from my parents. There was something I feel is real there. But as time went on, my practice of my faith did not progress to the point when I got to university. I reached a point where I was saying to God, look, I'm going to give this one last shot, and if it doesn't work, I'm just going to give it up because it's just not working for me. So I put in some effort. All looking back, wrong now. I did Bible study to myself. I was working out of the King James Bible. I was doing detailed verse-by-verse analysis was getting very little out of it. There was a campaign at that time at Annisland Hall, and there was an opportunity in preparation meetings to stand up and pray. And without feeling I had anything particular to say, I thought, this is what Christians do, so I'll stand up and speak. And I stood up and speak, and I don't know what I said. It was pretty rubbish, didn't mean anything. But I got home that night, and the Holy Spirit filled me. And I can't explain much more than that to you, except that there was a tremendous understanding of the power of God. Now, if anybody who remembers my slideshows will remember that I quite often put up a picture of the Hubble telescope pictures. And that was primarily the teaching that I got at that time. I can remember looking out of the window praying, it was at night, and I would look at the stars and I would have a real in-depth understanding of the greatness and majesty of the heavens and the power of God that created them, to the point where I felt that sitting next to that God was a painful experience and that my poor flesh and bones couldn't cope with it, to the point that I couldn't sleep, my head was spinning and all the rest of it. And eventually I had to ask God to take this away from me because I felt I was going to be driven mad. Now I realize I can go on to you for ages about how wonderful the stars are, how glorious the heavens are and all the rest of it. And all you'll get is a sort of a deadpan physical explanation of it. I think only the Holy Spirit can teach that charismatic truth of that understanding of the greatness. Now, my problem was that in church, I was totally silent. I had nothing to say. In a sense, I didn't really know God, and so didn't have the bottle to speak up. I had nothing to say, and was worried that other people, if I did say anything, would criticize me, because obviously I didn't know. After that, I was given a voice, and I went to church, and I spoke, and I haven't stopped since. Some of you may wish it only lasted a few weeks. This Holy Spirit equipped me for service at that time. And I could speak without, there's lots of people in this church who are more intelligent than me and who are more erudite, are more studious and whatnot. And so I'm not claiming to be on a human scale up to that point, but there is everybody here with a knowledge of God has valuable things to say in this church. And that was what hit me in the next time I went out. And I didn't really have much biblical knowledge to share at that point. I just had a wonder at God and that there is a value in that. Now, in our church, we have the breaking of bread in the first service here. There are very few of you that don't come to the breaking of bread out, but let me say to all of you that to allow you voice to speak out for God, then the breaking of bread is a place where you can do that here. And I would encourage even those regular members of you to speak up, even though you feel as though you may not be as erudite as some of the long-winded guys that are on there. Come forward with your knowledge of God and share it with us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says this, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things." And Paul is almost forced to say that because of a particular situation in the Corinthian church, and he wouldn't normally come forward this. I think he was talking there about his Damascus Road experience. If I was writing the Bible of my life, I would say something similar. Now, obviously, I'm not going to use that sort of language because it sounds a bit pompous and a bit uppity, and that's one of the big problems of the spiritual gifts in the church. But if you're writing your own Bible, then these are the words that I would use. I think we could handle in this church a few of the Corinthian problems. We could handle a bit too much of the Holy Spirit, handle a bit of people maybe feeling uppity because they had the gift of tongues or whatever. And I think it might be good for the church. So Paul is in the business of sorting out this problem with the Corinthian church. And as part of that, he expounds on the gifts of the church. He says this in 1 Corinthians 12. "To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between the spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues." Now, some of these gifts are normal in inverted commas, and we certainly practice them. I think wisdom, faith, prophecy, which is our preaching, are all gifts that we employ publicly here in the church. But knowledge, miraculous powers, distinguishing spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. Are these things dead to West Glasgow New Church? They're certainly not much used. And to use them would be risky. They're open to all sorts of dangers of people using them to entrench their own positions. There can be a carelessness in terms of imposing hurt on other people. They are risky, but that freedom that comes with a more charismatic approach opens up the church and breaks down the walls so that the Holy Spirit can do his work. And then finally, there's healing, which we would love to have and which we don't have. And we do have healing on a pragmatic basis where we have the NHS. There's places full of doctors and nurses, so let's not denigrate that. But God, at the moment, almost allows mysterious and serious diseases to come into our church and take the best of us, almost putting us back in a situation of dealing with leprosy in AD 30. So while I have no experience of healing myself, although others in the church have, I don't think we should give up on it. I think we must hold on to it. Jesus healed, the apostles healed. We are encouraged to pray for our heart's desires. I don't think we should give up on it. So what do you want from your church life? What do you think of West Glasgow? What do you think of your own faith? When I look at West Glasgow, I really enjoy being here. I've got a lot of friends here. I love seeing all the people. From a spiritual point of view, I think it's okay. It's quite good. But I want abundant life that Jesus promised. I want more, and I think we should all want more. Do you see, look around and see dry bones? Or do you look around and see rivers of living water? Ask, seek, and knock, and God will give us the Holy Spirit, if nothing else. We're going to finish off now with a presentation, which I put together. Started with Ezekiel, so we're finished with Ezekiel. This is Ezekiel looking at the temple, and he sees water flowing out from the temple. Again, I think this is the Spirit of God. It is the grace of God. And watch how this water develops into eventually a raging torrent that no one can cross. The vision of Ezekiel is that the glory of God, the Holy Spirit, the grace is so huge that it overwhelms us.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down. I went down in the river to pray, studying about that.